Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
Today I want to talk about salvation and just ensure that we have a wonderful grasp of what salvation means, who it is, and what it means for us to be saved, and the tremendous benefits the Lord offers to those that are saved. Amen. It is a phenomenal experience, and it's really obviously when you study different points of theology, it says that salvation is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. And that sounds kind of interesting to some, especially the people that are saved. We know that salvation is everything to us. Amen. That's what we know that we live for. That's the purpose that God has us on the earth, is to be saved and then to be instrumental in helping to lead other people to Christ as well. And it's good news, because if you're here and you're not saved, the bad news is you're not saved, but the good news is you can be saved. And it doesn't take 6 months, 6 years, 6 steps. It just takes one choice, and God will deliver and make you whole right now. Amen. We thank God for his benefit that he has offered to us through salvation. In the Word, the first thing I want to say to you concerning salvation is know that salvation is not just being delivered from hell, amen, is the act of God's grace in delivering us from bondage and sin and condemnation and transferring us into the kingdom of his Son. We find that in the book of Colossians. If you find Colossians, you can find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, you can find Colossians just behind the book of Philippians. Are you there? Colossians chapter 1, I'll read verse 11 through 13. Perhaps it says, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father," verse 12, "which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light," verse 13 is where we're going, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." We know darkness deals with the kingdom of the enemy, amen? That's where the devil hangs out. He is in the place of darkness. But the Bible says he delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's what salvation is. It's being moved from darkness, which is the place where we all were that are now saved. Before we were saved, we were in darkness. Amen. There may be some people in this room that's not saved that may still be in darkness. Again, the good news is you can be saved. You can give your life to God. You can be saved right now. Amen. But this is what the word said. It said that he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the thing that the Lord says to us is that there is something more that God has than just, which is enough, but just moving us from darkness to light. There are benefits that God accrued to us. And then he says, he give us eternal life, which is spoken about in Romans chapter 6. Verse number 23, you're in chapter 5. If you flip back, turn over to chapter 6, look at verse 23, verse that you know very well, "The wages of sin is death." You ever heard that? But the B clause says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says the wages of sin is death. Now, listen, it says that every person that has sin in their life, and the Bible declares that we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Is that what the word says? And so there was, put that verse back on the screen. It said there is a payment that's required for sin. And it says the wages of sin or the payment for sin is death. And guess what? Christ paid that wage or made that payment for you. How did he do it? Because he died for you on the cross. Amen. Can you touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, my bill has been paid. Come on, tell them, my bill for sin has been paid. Listen, the only way you can assert, though, truthfully that it has been paid for you is if you accept Christ as the payment for your sin. Amen? Now, if you, while you just keep looking straight ahead, and we'll read that what this word says, because the Bible declares that you can't work enough to be saved. You can't do enough good stuff to be saved. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 14, I stopped at verse number 13 in Colossians 1. But verse 14 says, I want you just to listen to this. Well, they got on the screen. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Amen. Because he shed blood and died for us. We have now been redeemed or purchased back to him. Amen. We've been redeemed. It says, even the forgiveness of sin. That says it very clearly, that we have been forgiven of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can somebody just shout, thank God, I am forgiven. Amen. Even the forgiveness of sin. And this is what salvation deals with. So it says that, listen, you are not, if you're saved, it means you're not a sinner anymore. Amen. It means that you are not, you're not condemned to death because of your sin, because the payment for your sin has already been made in theology. And then he talks about, it says in Romans 6:23, that deals with the accomplishment of the atonement of Christ, that he wrought for us on the cross. Atonement is a word that means he has made us one with him again. Amen. That means that we are no longer separated. How many of you know that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it separated us from God, and it compelled us or propelled us into a place where we were destined to be eternally separated from God, but through the death of Jesus Christ, we have been made one again with God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Amen. That means that you are one with Christ, and that's what atonement means. It means it brings us, because Christ is the atoning sacrifice. He is the one that was sacrificed on the cross to make us again one with the Father. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, it brought a gulf between ourselves and God. But when Christ died, he bridged that gulf and made us one with God again. Amen. Tell your neighbor, thank God, through salvation, I am one with God through Christ. Amen. The Bible said that we're saved, through faith by grace. That means that he gave us access to something by faith that we did not deserve. Amen. You have access to something by grace. Amen. You have access to something which is grace means you're getting an opportunity to something that you don't deserve. Amen. You don't deserve it, which means our lives did not indicate the fact that we deserved for Christ to come and die for us. Because he said, while you were yet spitting in my face, I died for you. He said, while you were yet acting ugly, he said, I died for you. Amen. That's grace. I got something that I did not deserve. Amen. Listen, I didn't work for it, didn't even behave. And even now, I don't even walk like I'm thankful for what he has done for me on the cross. Amen. So by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. But said, don't forget the grace now, because you, oh God, without God, listen, without the blood of Jesus Christ, we are doomed. The Bible said, while you were yet sinners, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet acting up, amen, he sent his son to die for us. And then while he was on his way to the cross, we had the nerve, listen, to make fun of him, to spit on him. Amen. Listen, and he was preparing the way for all of us to be saved. Did anyone here that thank God for salvation? Yeah. Amen. Can thank God for salvation. In theology, the study of salvation is called soteriology. You're from the Greek word soteria, meaning salvation. Salvation virtually are synonymous with the overall concept of redemption. Redemption, we showed on the screen earlier that talks about the fact that we have been purchased, bought back. Amen. We're saved from the penalty of sin. You don't have to pay the penalty anymore because God has, through his son, already paid the price, for the sin that you commit. Amen. But you have to accept the payment. How do you accept the payment? By accepting Christ as the payment for your sin. Amen. That's when he becomes your savior. Are y'all okay with that? Now you can have him, and it's one thing to accept him as your savior, all right? And we're all good with that. Now we know we've got to accept him as savior, because you don't get into heaven without accepting Christ as your savior, amen? That means you got to accept it. Listen, no other God died for your sin but the God of the Bible. Can you tell your neighbor he's the only way? You can't be victimized or deceived by that notion that we used to have in, and I would say in the earth or in Christendom. We used to say it don't matter where you go or what you do, because we all serve the same God. I would just say to you, I don't really think so. Amen. It does matter who you serve. Amen. Because every God didn't die for your sin. Amen. Only the God of the Bible died for your sin. Amen. It does make a difference. It makes a big difference. And then it matters. Now, remember this. He is Savior, and we can accept him as our Savior because we know that he died for us. Amen. Come on, somebody say, thank God for salvation. And then there's another level that we'll talk about as we go through this lesson over the next couple of weeks. And it deals with this. There's one perspective that says he is our Savior, which means I know he died for me. But then you also have to accept him. If you're going to live on this earth, you got to accept him as Lord. Yes. Amen. Which means I want him to lead my life. I want him to be the ruler of my life. I want him to be the guider and the controller of my life. Amen. That's where the struggle comes in. Amen. We want him as Savior, but we really struggle with letting him be Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means he reigns over every facet of your life. And he won't accept as Savior. Listen, you don't have the capacity to separate between the two. Amen. Listen, Savior works if you're going to die right now. Amen. Y'all mighty quiet. Amen. But if you're going to live tomorrow and beyond, you got to accept him as Lord. He's got to lead your life. Amen. Romans 8:14, it makes a reference to that. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are, huh? He said, those are the ones that I call mine. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Not those that are led by tradition. Not those that are led by your feelings. But those that are led by the Spirit of God. Let me just encourage the saints real quick. Listen, whenever you're talking to somebody about, you know, what the Lord does, you know, it's a good thing. And even when you're in a place like you are right now, where the Lord may be steering your spirit to accept or to consider some things maybe that you perhaps have not considered before or now, you got to divorce yourself from your feelings. Yes, sir. Amen? Because your feelings, the Bible, it says clearly that your feelings can get you into real big trouble. Yes. Amen? Because when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, it doesn't really matter how you feel about it because, you know, he's in charge. Amen? And guess what? As the person in charge, he makes all the rules. Amen? As the rule maker, guess what? We have to submit to his rules. We can't rewrite the rules. If we don't feel good about them, then it's kind of tough. You just got to bow. Amen? Now, you know, listen, we live with those kind of things, and I don't mean to be too dogmatic or legalistic or talk about rules, but it's just, listen, we have to understand it that way. Amen? Amen? To know that Christ doesn't bend the rules just because our feelings are not on board with it. Amen. He's God. Listen, he's been doing this a whole lot longer than we've been here trying to understand it. Amen. He was God before you were a gleam in your parents' eye. He was God then, and guess what? He's God now. And long after we're gone, he will still be God. So whether we get on board or not is not going to stop him from being God. He says, listen, he is self-existent. Amen. He doesn't need us to exist, but I declare all of us need him in order for us to exist. The Bible says in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our very being. That meant you don't take the next breath without God. So he don't need you. Listen, we can understand it from a corporate standpoint, can't we? Because if your corporate entity told you the rule is be at work by 8 or just turn around and go home, every red light in town would be in jeopardy of being run or overlooked if you were running late that morning. Why? Because you take serious what the corporate world says to you. Ask your neighbor, can we take God serious today? Can we do that? Amen. Listen, just do what he's saying. And then, listen, his pay and the commitment that you have from God supersedes anything that corporate America would ever offer you. Amen. Listen, the Bible says, listen, his pay is so, listen, out of this world, isn't it? It is. His benefits are out of this world. Amen. Listen, and plus, when he employ you, guess what? You know, and you get to go home to be with him. His job, listen, the place you have with him will never terminate. Amen. Will never diminish, will never go out of business. There's no one that can do us like God. And so what the word says is this, that if we're going to accept him as Lord, we've got to bow to what he's asking us to do. Amen. To let him lead us. We've got to mature in our faith and our confidence and our belief in who the Lord is. As saints of God, listen, we're saved from the penalty of sin when God brought us to faith in Christ. And it says, listen, we are presently being saved from the power of sin as the Holy Ghost sanctifies or purifies us. Amen? That you're being saved from the presence of sin. Amen? And the thing that I said in the earlier service, you have to know this. This is just the discourse on how this thing works, all right? What the Bible says, it teaches us, saints of God, that we have a spirit. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. That there is a spirit side of you. Amen? You are a three-part being. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. How many of y'all believe that? Raise your hand. Amen. You are three-part. You're just like, you're a triune like the Godhead. There's a Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all have ever heard of that before? Raise your hand. Amen. So he made you, made us in his likeness. Amen. There's three of us, three parts, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your spirit is saved if you're saved. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then your spirit is saved. Amen. But your soul is being saved. What is your soul? Is your mind, your emotion, and your will. All right? That means that your mind, how many of y'all believe that your mind is being saved? Amen. Is this something difficult for you to get your mind wrapped around? When I say your soul is being saved. And the reason you know that it's being saved, that it's not saved yet, not completely saved, is the fact that your mind still go places it has no business going, doesn't it? And what do? You bring it back. You say, come back, come back. You know, you don't let, it's out in some places. You know it don't have any business being. Tell your neighbor, my mind is being saved. And then you tell your mind, you are not going back there anymore today. All right. Amen. Now, I mean, now listen. It's not only your mind, but it's your emotion. Now, how many of you know that your emotion can go places that you don't like for it to go? Before you knew it, you lost it. Amen? Before you knew it, you had already said something that you know you had no business saying, and you had to apologize. Now, how many of y'all, listen, raise your hand if you needed to apologize in the last week. Raise your hand if you needed to apologize. I didn't say you did it, because a lot of times we don't even do it. We just... It's surprising to me. I remember saying this on another message I was preaching. That some people do it this way. I don't know why I would say people act like this. You know, many people don't ever apologize. They just simply just walk on into the future and believe, you know, I can run over my wife with the car, huh? And then get up and dust off. I don't have to say I'm sorry. I just keep, you know, listen, just put her back in the car, and we ride around for 3 hours. And then I just ask her, well, look, honey, what you want for lunch? And then we eat lunch and we just go on. Okay, what are we going to do tomorrow? I never said I'm sorry. And that's the way we live our lives sometimes. And that's why I asked her how many of us needed to apologize. We don't always do it. We just think that if we get enough time between ourselves and the event, it's okay. Tell your neighbor, it is so not okay. Amen. So our emotions still need to be saved. Amen. And then our will needs to be saved. I mean, need to continue to be saved. We need to keep bringing our wills in check. Amen. It took a strong will to get you to church today. Amen. You know, you even kept watching restaurants on your way to church this morning saying, man, look at this. Church is at 10, buffet ends at 10:30. You know, you circle the parking lot twice before you pull into a space. I think I can get back there in just enough time to get there. So your will is being saved. Amen? And then this is just the day you check in, amen, to service. You know you ain't going to be here next week. Because, see, all the people that are not here today, see, this is a new crew here today. Those that are here last week ain't here today. Your will is still being saved. Amen? It's still being saved. That's why if you really want to hear a very hearty amen, just let me wait till I get to the point where I say to everybody, we're not going to be here in service Monday through Friday. Watch the cheers that go up. Because our wills. Amen. We love that. Why is it that let me move on. So your mind, emotion, and your will, listen, it's being saved. All right? Are we good with that? Amen. And then your flesh, your body will never be saved. This body is on the earth. It's going to stay here. It's not going anywhere but in the ground. Amen? It's going to stay right here. Now you know, something's going to happen to the body. When Christ comes back, this body is going to be transformed into a glorified body. Amen. But this body shall not inherit. amen, eternal life. But this body is going to be transformed. So listen, there are three enemies. And I'm just saying this just so that we connect with the point that I'm making. How many of y'all know the three enemies that we have in our lives? The world, the flesh, which is this body, and the devil. Amen. Your body is in line, listen, with the devil. Amen. It's one of three enemies that you got. Your body is always warring against what the Spirit says he wants you to do. He's always fighting against you. Every time your spirit says pray, your body says, no, I'm tired. That's right. Every time, listen, your spirit says go to church, your body says, no, I ain't trying to do that. Amen. You know, listen, I went to church 2 weeks ago. I already did my week for this month. I am not going back. Amen. Your body, your flesh is at war against your spirit. Amen. And it is, that's the way it's designed. Amen. So you have to know that. So you are saved. Your spirit is saved. Your mind, emotion, will, your soul is being saved. And your body will be saved. But it's not going to be saved until we leave this earth. Amen. You're going to struggle. You're going to have a battle in this flesh as long as you're in the flesh. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need something to keep that flesh beat down. Amen. So they listen, and many times you don't think about even the specific point that I'm making now, but for those that are, listen, that still struggle with a whole bunch of things in your life, just know that that's the way you are designed. Don't think that some people might be in a place where you're saying, listen, if it takes all this to be saved, I may as well just keep sinning. No, you don't have to make that choice, because the Lord has empowered you. Listen, has made available to you the power for you to get saved and to stay saved. Amen. The Bible didn't say when you fall, it said, or when you sin, it says if any man sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to fall. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I've got the power through the Holy Ghost to stay saved. Amen. I can only stand, but I can keep standing. Now to him that is able to what? From falling. You don't have to fall. Amen. So you don't have to always sing that song, we fall down, but we get up. You don't have to fall. If you do fall down, you can get up. But you don't have to fall. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to stand through this one. Every storm doesn't have to, listen, be a sad story. Amen. Got to know that if God, who has started this thing in us, and some people struggle with the truth of God's word, and we talked a little bit about that in the last service. There's so much stuff going on in the earth today. It's critical for you to know, listen, where you are in your salvation, and even with what you believe. You don't stand a chance in life if you are not endowed with the Holy Ghost. Listen, and you're a person that give yourself to constant study of the word and prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.